Welcome to the Scripture Memory Podcast, a ministry of Scripture Memory Fellowship. If you've ever felt like memorizing God's Word is an uphill battle, stay tuned. This podcast will help you make Bible memory a consistent and enjoyable part of your daily life. After all, knowing Scripture is the first step towards a fruitful, God-honoring life. So whether you're a new memorizer who needs some practical Bible memory tips, or a veteran memorizer who just needs some encouragement for their journey, stay tuned for today's episode of the Scripture Memory Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Scripture Memory Podcast, the podcast where we are helping you make Scripture memorization a consistent and enjoyable part of your daily life. I'm Dakota Lynch.
And I'm Randy Williamson.
And I'm Hannah Koner.
And as you know, as we produce these episodes, one thing we're always trying to do is just make Scripture memorization something that you can do consistently, enjoyably. And we're always looking at new techniques, new methods of memorization that are coming about. And yet one of the most timeless ways of memorizing Scripture is to memorize musically, just taking God's Word, putting it to song, and memorizing that way. And today we're excited to have a special guest with us, Adam Wright, who actually has a ministry that's dedicated to that very thing. That ministry is The Corner Room Music. And so here in just a moment, Adam is going to be joining us and sharing a little bit about Scripture songs and how those help with memorization, and he'll share about his ministry as well. But as always, we want to begin our time with a passage of Scripture. And Randy, would you like to set up our passage of the day?
Absolutely, Dakota. We have a perennial favorite from the book of Psalms. This is a psalm that is given tremendous comfort to God's people throughout their pilgrimage, Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, the psalmist David just speaks of God's watch care over his life throughout all seasons, even surrounded by enemies. Just to set it up, I'd like to read something from the Treasury of David, Charles Haddon Spurgeon's commentary on the Psalms. And just to let you know, we have this as a free resource available to you. If you'd like to read more of the Treasury of David, go to scripturememory.com/verselocker/commentary. And that'll take you to the Treasury of David. Listen to what Spurgeon says about Psalm 23. The position of this psalm is worthy of notice. It follows the 22nd, which is peculiarly the Psalm of the Cross. There are no green pastures, no still waters on the other side of the 22nd Psalm. It is only after we read, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" that we come to "The Lord is my shepherd." We must by experience know the value of blood shedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we shall be able truly to know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. What a wonderful quote about Psalm 23. We've got another great treat today. Usually I read the passage of the day, but we've got something a little bit different. Our guest, Adam Wright, specializes in a ministry of Scripture songs. And so we're going to be playing a clip from his Scripture song of Psalm 23.
Thank you.
shepherd, I shall not want.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that song with us, Adam. And yeah, we'd love to learn a little bit more about your ministry, but why don't you start by just sharing with us a little bit about you and your family and maybe how you got started with Scripture Memory?
Definitely. Thank you guys so much for having me this morning. I serve a local church here in Birmingham, Alabama, called Cahaba Park Church, and I have a wife of 17 years, and I've got two little girls, 9 and 7, and so we are just, I'm in a really sweet season right now in my life with my family. I've been serving this church for 14 years, and one of the things that I do here is I plan the liturgy for our services. And so back in 2013, our senior pastor decided to do a psalm series in the summer. And so trying to figure out a way to creatively tie the liturgy into each psalm he was going to preach, I sat down with my Bible and a notebook one evening and just tried to set it to music. I didn't find anything online that really excited me, or so I was like, I'm gonna give this a shot and just see how this goes. And I shared with Randy earlier, it was probably one of the most rich times I've ever had in Scripture, because I was thinking about the text in a new way. I was having to think about it and interpret it and try and figure out exactly what the musical backdrop was for the psalm that would reflect the psalmist's heart. And so by the end of that 2.5-hour writing session, I had a working arrangement of Psalm 1. And the following Sunday, I prepped my musicians, had charts made, and we played the psalm. We sang the psalm straight from the ESV Bible during our worship service, right before it was preached. And it was met with a lot of really, really great feedback. It really served our people well. And so that kind of started a journey of the rest of the summer. I think we did, I wrote another 12 arrangements. So it was 13 by the end of that summer. And then the following summer, he's like, let's do another series of psalms. And so wrote another 7 that summer. And so then started getting increasing questions of like, where can I find these? Where can, I'd love to listen to these again. And so that kind of started the idea of, well, why don't we try and invest some time recording some of these songs. The church building where we meet is very, it's very unique. It's a 3-story house. So the bottom floor we use as offices. The second floor is for Sunday school. The top floor is for our youth group. In the second floor, there are these rooms back in the corner of the building. You guys can see where this is going. And so I asked them if they would let me to make one into a recording studio. And they graciously agreed. And so the corner room is where, that's the name of the ministry, but it also describes where these songs are written and recorded. And so after that, each project that has kind of come out of this ministry serves our church first. It's something that, we've studied, 1 Corinthians 13 over the years. Isaiah 53 was a project I did from a series of Good Friday meditations for the church. Did a kids album back in 2020, and I'm actually working on a follow-up to that one right now. So everything that Corner Room has released, the primary objective is, how can it serve our people here locally? And then if it benefits others outside of that, that's just icing on the cake. So God's used it in my heart personally tremendously to just cement his truths into my heart over the years. And it's something that I really have developed a passion for as I've done it more.
Adam, how do you think music aids Scripture memory? You use that term, doing Scripture songs, spending that time singing them, that it cemented God's truth into your heart. What would you tell our listener about using Scripture songs to memorize a word?
I think music has we homeschooled our kids for a number of years. We used a classical conversations model. My children learned more information through songs. I mean, they kind of make me look like a dummy, honestly, because they can tell me every president that's ever existed. They can tell me, all the states and the capitals. I mean, there are so many things that they've learned because the information is set to music. And so I think that, music I've heard before has a stickiness to it, where there's a sense of melody, where the words, it makes them easier to remember. And so I think that's true of these Scripture songs too. And Colossians 3:16 kind of gives us this 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 command of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, well, a component of that is singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. And so I definitely think that music helps the word to dwell in us richly. That's how I feel like that kind of works.
So one of the things that we encourage everyone to do is have a personal discipline of memorizing scripture, you know, just something that you're incorporating into your daily quiet time. But obviously there's this tremendous value as well to memorize congregationally and for a church body, just to have a passage of scripture, even a set of passages that have just been kind of built into their liturgy. And I'm curious, what would you say you've seen in terms of the benefits that offers for a church to memorize scripture, not just as individual members, but congregationally?
Absolutely. I will say this, Corner Room, the arrangements that I've come up with, I would say are more meditative, and I'll share a really funny story. When I was first doing these psalm arrangements, I tried to lead Psalm 8 with our congregation. There was zero prep, and it did not go well. It was a lot of confusion, because there's just, you know, when you remove meter and you're just talking about the word for word translation from the ESV or any translation for that matter, it's very difficult for people to be able to latch onto that. So I would say, I don't know that the songs that I'm writing are congregationally friendly. However, I think that congregations can learn it. We actually did Psalm 23 a few years ago, and I took a couple of verses each week. And so we would learn this one part, and we would use it in the liturgy, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Maybe that was a like an assurance of pardon or something like that. So we would kind of tie it into a section of the service. But by the end of the month, we had spent 5 weeks building the song, building the psalm from the foundation, and we had it by the end of the month. We could sing it together. So I think it can be done. Some of the kids songs that I've released on the Remember and Proclaim project for kids, we actually sing those regularly. So you've got truths like, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We all sing that together as a congregational response of assurance. Galatians 2:20 is another one we do a lot. "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." We do Revelation 22:20 is one we've been singing a lot lately, but it's just that the truth that he who testifies to these things says, "Surely I'm coming soon," and then our response is, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." So it's a good, just kind of a yearning and a longing for Jesus's return and him making all things new. So I think there are some of these shorter passages that really do work in a congregational context, and I'm interested in kind of exploring more of that intersection of scripture songs and corporate worship. I think there's a place for it.
So what is your process for developing scripture songs? I know a lot of different people that develop those, and they all have a different way of doing it and producing it, and some use a lot of different instruments, some just sing it. So what is your method for doing that?
That's a really good question, and I bet there are a number of processes for doing that. For me, I just spend a lot of time reading and thinking about the text, the context of in which the passage is placed, and just try and get a feel for tone and intent first. I want to try to be faithful to set the text. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to you know, set Psalm 100 as a slow dirge. Like, that would be totally off. You know, Psalm 100 is celebratory. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." It's the celebratory text. And so trying to get the intent right. On the other hand, you know, like a Psalm 88, you wouldn't want to do that one with lots of joy and jubilation. It's a very deeply dark passage. And so being able to kind of be faithful on that level, trying to have an understanding or a basic knowledge of the passage and kind of the tone and the way it needs to be set faithfully. And then I typically will take guitar in hand and create like a structure or a mood. The structure for me, especially when you're talking about setting scripture to music, straight from the Bible, with no meter or lyrical framework, in verses and that kind of a form, I think that a musical framework can help me figure out how to fit a thought or a part of the passage in. And so I typically will start. So I think about tone and intent, and then kind of the framework, the musical framework for the entire song. And then I'll start thinking about, like, if there's a main idea, like a chorus, for example, Psalm 8 would be, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We see that at the beginning of the passage, and then we see it also at the very end. So in my mind, that was a logical place to repeat, to return. Let's return to that idea continually as we go through the psalm. Some of them don't have that, and so some songs, the really lengthy ones, the chorus will change each time. The chorus, the music under the chorus will be the same, but the melody line or the rhythm, there's an ebb and a flow, I think, in terms of how the words fit within the framework. But the framework definitely helps. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's really unique. And I know I've listened to a couple of the songs, and there's a difference between, like you said, like a Psalm 88 and a Psalm 100, and how you go about that. And that honors, you know, the intent and everything that you were describing about why it's written and who it was written for and all of that.
Adam, I'm curious, what would you say to someone who's listening, and let's say they're memorizing, you know, James chapter 3 as a family, and they haven't been able to find a scripture song that's ready made. I mean, we have to acknowledge that different people have different levels of musical gifting, right? I mean, would you say that everyone is capable of making a scripture song, or what advice would you give to someone who wants to make their own, who does not also have all of the resources and talent and a recording studio, right? I mean, do they need to be recycling tunes that they already know? How could someone who's not necessarily a gifted musician still put a passage that they want to memorize to music?
That's a really good question. I've never been asked that before. I'm thinking about it on the spot. I would say, yeah, I think that, for example, going back to the homeschool songs that we learned with our kids, they were very familiar tunes. And so I think that, you know, even some of the nursery rhyme or Happy Birthday or, you know, some of these really well-known songs can be helpful, I think, in you know, creating a database for your family to learn scripture. I wish I could think on the spot and give you an example, and I can't do that. But I think that going back to just very simple melodies and trying to find a way to make those fit is something that anybody could do.
Adam, if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're basically saying is you're taking a familiar tune because the text is not familiar right now because you haven't memorized that, which is get one that you're like really grounded in. You said Happy Birthday or a nursery rhyme, something that you know without thinking about it, because the verses, the words, that's what you're not familiar with right now. Is that what you're saying?
Randy, that's what he said is my answer. Randy, you said that beautifully.
You know, one thing that I often think about is we set these high standards for ourselves, like, hey, you know, I've spent my last hour listening to Adam Wright and the Corner Room Music scripture songs, and now I'm embarrassed to come up with my own. Well, the goal is not to, you know, produce a Grammy worthy song, right? It's just to have something that's going to help lock this into memory. But I'd love for you to share as well, if you would, Adam, a little bit about this upcoming project that you're working on and a little bit about what that is and when it will release.
Absolutely. This next project is going to be a second volume of kid songs designed for kids. They're shorter passages from Old and New Testament. 2020, during COVID, This I was working on this kid project, and ironically, the Lord used these songs, you know, designed for children, in profound ways in my own life. You know, James 1:2-5, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. I mean, we all were going through very uniquely different and difficult things during that season. But, you know, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God was working that deep within my heart as I was like writing it and recording it in that season. So that these kids songs who, which I'm finding are also more geared towards adults as well, just as much towards adults as kids, have been really helpful. So working on this next, there'll be 10 more songs, shorter passages. I've got some, last album had, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, which was an Advent passage. I'm going to continue that. Isaiah 9, 2 through 5 will be on this one. Let's see what else. There's a 1 John passage that's going to be in there, a possible one from Revelation. So it's kind of, it's all over the map, but these are songs, again, thinking to serve our church. Our children's minister, our director does, writes her own curriculum. And so these are songs that would be a companion to the things that she has laid out for our kids to learn here at the church over the course of the year. So they're going to work hand in hand with that curriculum. So really excited to continue to serve families and children's ministries with more scripture songs.
That's awesome. Adam, do you know yet when that will release, or is that still TBD?
I would say spring 2024. would be an optimistic bet.
That's great, and I'm assuming that this episode will release probably around that time. So for those of you who are listening, good news, you can probably get this in the near future, if not right now. And Adam, what is the best way for our listeners to learn more about your ministry? Where can they get these songs as well as the ones that you've already produced?
Good question. cornerroommusic.com is the website. There are links to both digital streaming platforms from the website, YouTube. There's also a store where you can find physical CDs, t-shirts, sweatshirts, all of the above. So would love to for you to go check out the site and find some resources that will help you and or your family and or your church. And I'd also like to say too, I've started exploring sharing with churches, actually going and traveling to different churches. Was able to go to Bozeman, Montana earlier this year and did a few shows there for their community. And it's something that I've really enjoyed a lot. It's a combination of listening to scripture sung, but then also having opportunities to sing together God's word. So if you're interested in that kind of a thing as well, there's a form on the website you can fill out for more information about that.
Awesome. Well, Adam, it has been such a joy having you with us for this episode. Thank you for your ministry. And, you know, in the world of scripture memory, we need all the help we can get. And I'm just so thankful that you're serving people out there who say, hey, I want to memorize scripture, and I want to be able to do that musically with some high-quality scripture songs. And so for those of you who would love to learn more about the Corner Room Music, we do have a link in the show notes for this episode that you can check out. And if you'd like to dive a little bit more deeply into Psalm 23, we also have a link in the show notes for this episode where you can begin memorizing that in our free Bible memory app, which is called Verse Locker. As always, our time flies. Adam, thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you with us. Thank you for those who are listening, and we hope that you'll subscribe and join us next time for another episode of the Scripture Memory Podcast.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of the Scripture Memory Podcast, a ministry of Scripture Memory Fellowship. At SMF, our mission is to help you know, live, and love God's Word. If you're ready to take the next step in your Scripture Memory journey, visit us online at scripturememory.com or download Verse Locker, our free Bible memory app. As always, be blessed today as you take time to enjoy God's Word. And be sure to join us next time for another episode of the Scripture Memory Podcast.